Embracing changes and transitions. Anyone experiencing change or transition in your life? No, it's near constant thing, isn't it? It seems like every time I check in, like when I go to a meeting or something, I check in, I say, oh, I'm going through a transition period. It is constant. We are always going through a transition period, I have come to realize. Sometimes a society or groups of people who associate will experience what we refer to as a growth period or a transition period together. Yeah, that is a thing. We can sometimes experience these on a large scale. I think we just went through something a few years ago. And certainly on a personal level, yeah, all the time. So I decided to touch on this evening. Embracing change and transition. The folks, I'm sure folks have heard about, AI and all that AI is doing. And I don't know if you've heard about the different ones that we can interact with online. So ChatGPT is one of them. I was really skeptical at first. I don't want any of this business in my life. I really didn't. My partner did it. She got herself a little one. She said, oh, it saves this and that. They don't do, they can't have access to information beyond 2 years. And she kind of reassured me, and I kind of looked into it. I thought, okay, let me try. So I have one now. And when I was putting my notes together, I asked my ChatGPT, my AI, I asked it to share about humanity's relationship to change. And that's all I said. Share about humanity's relationship to change. And this is what it said. It said, change is the thread woven through the fabric of human experience, a constant force shaping our journey. In transition, we navigate the spectrum of emotions from the excitement of new beginnings to the discomfort of uncertainty. It's in these moments that growth unfurls, pushing us beyond familiar boundaries. Like a butterfly emerging from a cocoon, we transform, shedding old layers to reveal the evolving tapestry of our identity. The dance of change, though challenging, whispers the promise of resilience and the beauty of embracing the unknown. I was like, are you serious? A computer wrote that. I feel like it's fairly poetic. So, this is change. This is the nature of change. I like how it said, the dance of change, though challenging, whispers the promise of resilience and the beauty of embracing the unknown. So this is what, as we know it in our practice, what is this? This is some impermanence, something we may have heard a little something about. Impermanence. This is the wonder and magic of understanding the truth of impermanence. We know that impermanence allows a seed to become a giant sequoia. Yes. If any seed that we planted were permanent, it would never grow or change or release its secret of life, whatever lives inside those magical, mythical seeds, mystical seeds. It's magic. So touching into the reality of impermanence of all things, is also touching into the reality of our potential for growth and ability to blossom as humans, for our hearts to soften, for relationships to deepen. And as we grow our capacity to hold our experiences in this light, it allows us to approach change and impermanence through a bit of a different lens, with maybe a little more openness or harmony with changing conditions. We can hold things in this light around our growth. When we do that, it's possible to have a sense of deeper freedom or of being less bound by things, bound by circumstances, oftentimes over which we have no control. Yeah. So allowing ourselves and all that is around us here in this life to be just what it is, constantly changing, evolving, being born, can have this kind of effect, this kind of impact as we work with it. So, anicca, impermanence. Anicca is the Pali word, Pali being the language of the Buddha, the ancient language of the Buddha. It's a compound word, a, meaning non, and nicca, meaning constant, continuous, permanent. So it's not constant, not permanent, anicca. And it refers to the fact that everything, every last thing that occurs here in this world is inherently subject to change, to arising and passing away. Conditions are always changing. Nothing is solid, stagnant, unchanging. And this is central, it's the central teaching in our tradition. So if we're talking about working with change and transitions in our lives, we have to talk about attachment and desire. Kind of goes hand in hand with our relationship to change, our relationship to impermanence. This teaching around attachment is also central in our practice. The Buddha's first teaching was what? After his enlightenment, the Buddha's first teaching on the Four Noble Truths is all about this. It's the very thing that he woke up to, all about this. The Dharma Chakra Pavatana Sutta is in the Samyutta Nikaya, one of the collections of suttas. And it's translated to setting in motion the wheel of Dharma. So when he taught this, his first teaching, a little more in depth than we know, we have the condensed version of the Four Truths. Setting in motion the wheel of Dharma, it's that central. And so we know that there's difficulty. That's the first understanding. That's the first of the truth. We know that things are challenging. We know that challenges arise, difficulties arise. We know it's difficult to go through change and transition. That's the first truth. The second truth, is the cause of suffering, the cause of difficulty. And that is what? It's what we do. It is this tendency to hold on. Holding on, being bound to, grasping and clinging. Grasping and clinging, so desire and attachment to constantly changing circumstances. Constantly changing conditions. Heartbreak, disappointment, all related to this phenomena. Can we do? So can we open to the process of softening, of opening to this truth? Things will always be in transition. Things are always changing. How do we soften our grip? How do we soften? So I want to speak for a moment about birthing. I'm going to talk about birthing a bit. And I want to just name that, you know, in our varying incarnations, the entire spectrum that we have, the term or the idea of giving birth can be interesting. Certainly as a cisgendered female, a cisgendered female body in general is built for giving birth, right? Giving human birth. And as humans, as integral parts of the woven tapestry of all living things, we all birth, in a sense. And not only womb birth, we have heart birth, we give birth to transformation, to love, to self-love, to ourselves, yes, as we reinvent, as we grow, as we change again and again, don't we? Yes? We are ever changing. And this allows us a birth, really, every moment, if you think about it. The caveat here around all this change is learning how to soften our tendency around our attachments. Our tendency, our relationship to grasping and clinging. We hear these words, grasping and clinging, over and over again in this practice, in this tradition. And what is the real meaning when applied to our lives? The relationship that might have been better off ending months ago or years ago. Caught in suffering, into this. Caught in fear sometimes. Swimming upstream, looking to attain things, yes. The lovely, lovely hamster wheel. All manner of things. But where is the lasting peace? Where is that? Where can we soften our grip and really how these things have a grip over us? It's hard to look at these places of clinging sometimes. So whatever the circumstances, sometimes, you know, we're in the boat, the boat's got a hole. You know, we just keep shoveling the water out, drenched, tired, cold. But I want this boat, yeah? Clinging. And this can be a source of discontent, of suffering for us. It's inability to kind of see what is happening. Our practice enables us to look deeply. And sometimes we are kind of going through life with a kind of blinders on, yes, covering our sight, fixed on certain elements. And we get a kind of tunnel vision as we go through life, go through our days. You can't see anything else. Even the amazing real-time unfolding of this life that is all around us. So sometimes I use this wonderful sand mandala analogy. In Tibetan Buddhism, maybe you've seen images of these beautiful sand mandalas that the monastics will usually create. And these mandalas are, they take a long time to create, sometimes days, sometimes weeks. And you'll see the monastics with the, very intricately, with these little straws, with the different colors of sand, chanting ceremoniously. And once the mandala is complete, they destroy it. Away with the sand. And so this is to symbolize, these mandalas symbolize the reality of impermanence. So we can apply the same concept to our lives. Yeah, we build our own mandalas over many years and sometimes decades. And it becomes intricate and complex, right? Our life mandalas. And we begin to believe that these life mandalas define us. Yes, it's all of this complexity that I have built around me that is my identity. We believe that. Or we can. And the complexity can at times stifle us, hinder our growth, and keep us from experiencing a sense of freedom. There is a real freedom in this life that is truly yours, and we just need to begin to look deeply in order to see the truth of what stifles us, what keeps us stuck. In these beautiful creations that we make. So this can keep us from engaging spontaneity, the vibrant spontaneity that is arising all around us every day. Every day in life, in a joyful and meaningful way. So, in order to enter the living room, we've got to be willing to leave the kitchen. And this is the nature of transition. This is the nature of change. So opening to new possibilities allows us a new birth. This is, there's a great freedom in that, yes? When I was a teenager, I was probably 17, 18 or something like that. And, I had my typical teen struggles. Or maybe not typical, I don't know. I was having trouble in school and with friends. My mom really wanted to support me in, finding some stability for myself. So we scraped together, and she sent me to Hawaii for the first time to stay with some family friends there. And while I was there, I rented a bike, a mountain bike, so I could get around. And I had a great time while I was there. It was a really great experience for me. This one afternoon, probably early afternoon, late morning, there was a school not too far away from where I was staying. So I took the bike over there and I was just riding it, riding through the hallways. It was like an outdoor school, with the big red clay hallways. And so I just thought it was fun to ride on that and in the parking lot and so on. And as I was riding around, I noticed a rainbow. It was a rainbow in the sky. Of course, it's always raining in Hawaii, no matter how warm it is. And I thought to myself, and this is before I knew the nature of rainbows, I thought, I want to go. I didn't have anything else to do that day. I thought, I want to go ride to the end of this rainbow. I want to see the end of the rainbow. I want to stand in the rainbow. I want a rainbow shower is what I imagine. I'm going to go do that today. So I took off on my bike and I went in search of the end of this rainbow. And I rode for a long time. It was a great adventure for me. I found a macadamia nut farm, an orchard, a coffee farm. I ate sugar cane on the side of the road. I met horses in a meadow. It was really just this nice time. But one thing that I noticed was every time I thought the rainbow was getting closer, it jumped. It felt like it just hit the next bend. And then it was, oh, it's the next hill. Oh, it's the next turn. And so I kept kind of having that experience. And one time I thought I saw it in the field, touching down. And I immediately dropped my bike and I began bounding out into this building. If you know Hawaii, it was the big island of Hawaii. There's like bush, it's kind of wild and jungly and musty with moisture. And so I'm bounding through and I look up and it's jumped again. And now it's in the middle of the ocean. And I kind of have this aha moment. And I look up, and it's just way out, far away. I look up, and the rainbow is stretched out over me. It's just above me, and I can see it in it, and I'm just looking at it, and it kind of looked like, I know it's not gas, it's light, but it looked like gases were moving around, and you know how rainbows have that eerie light. And then, and the more I look, it's becoming a double rainbow. And it's just stretched out over me. Looked like so close I could just touch it. And as I'm standing there, I'm noticing just how beautiful everything is. And everything was kind of this eerie quiet. I could just hear a breeze. And there are those interesting little buzz bugs that they have in tropical Hawaii. And there was this one cloud that was floating, this little cloud, so close, I felt like I could reach out and touch it. And so I'm sitting there with this wonderful experience all around me. And I've been spending all day chasing the end of this rainbow. And I took a couple deep breaths and I turned around to go and get my bike. And it started to rain. And I wanted to look at it one more time, and I turned around, and it was gone. What was it? So, life is kind of like that. We get fixated on things. And there's this majesty, this wonderful unfolding that is available to us if we just pay attention to what is here We're very fixated on what is out there, what is over there, what is this over here. And so we are, you have a habit of missing what's unfolding for us. So impermanence also allows us to feel more deeply into appreciation, gratitude, reverence. When we know that something is fleeting, not finite, or at some point will return to dust or stardust, whatever it is, it's pretty much all things. Even our relationships are passing, our loves in this life, our family members passing. This earth, this life, all the objects, everything, every moment. We know the truth of impermanence. Every moment is precious. Every moment with these things. So we want to be here for it. Yeah. Awareness of our own impermanence, of our own mortality, is what intensifies our experience as humans. This human experience is finite. And it makes us feel vulnerable on some level. All of us aren't fixated on that. On some level, we have this urgency in life. We're vulnerable to old age, we're vulnerable to death. And it's what gives us this sense of urgency about getting the most out of every moment. And it can also inspire reverence for every experience in this life. This relationship to impermanence, our own mortality, can bring us to the extremes of our mind states, to the extremes of our emotions, because of this vulnerability, this urgency, really wanting happiness, really wanting. So we tend to resist or turn away from all the things that we perceive as not bringing us that happiness, that life experience that we want to be having. This is a finite experience. I got my ticket and I want the most out of it. I want what I want. Yes? And that's what keeps us on that treadmill when the beauty is just here now. So both reverence and deeper freedom are available through our understanding of changing conditions. It's not just about our ability to ride the waves or surf the waves. I think many people think of our practice in that way, right? Called seeking equanimity. It's also this process of learning to soften the grip. Learning to soften the grip, letting go, raising the eyes to the horizon, moving from agenda to adventure, sense of adventure. So we move through our experiences into the possibility of freedom. And we just tend to naturally do this upon seeing the truth of things, seeing the truth of anything that binds us. Our practice naturally allows us this process as we deepen. And so I'm going to read you a quote. This is from Aya Anandabodhi and Aya Santachitta. In their book, Leaving It All Behind. You say, as we practice little by little, our old tendencies start to shift, and new ways of responding get stronger. Guided by our own wisdom and a wish for freedom, things start to open up. We feel the joy of being aligned with the path, and we can direct our internal compass to this joy as we navigate our way through the journey of life. Like the way they say that. I also like this idea of moving from agenda to adventure. We can walk with our intentions. We certainly can set goals. It's a part of what it is to be living. It's a part of what it is to be human and be alive. What do we do about the outcomes? What is our relationship to outcome? A few minutes left here. I read you this poem. Let's see. I want to mention that when we're in it, when we're really in it, sometimes things come at us. Sometimes things really fly at us, and it's difficult. Whatever it is that we're going through. I know that when we're in it, it's hard. And I want to acknowledge that. We can't just say some words and everything's okay. This is a part of our practice. When we are walking through circumstances sometimes that we'd rather were different, it can be really, really challenging. And so sometimes life changes can be so abrupt or difficult that we can feel stuck. We can get a stuck feeling. And it's a difficult place. It can be scary sometimes. No plan past this juncture, And so we can sometimes find ourselves sitting with this type of confusion. And this can sometimes be referred to as being in the gap. And so I kind of found this magical way to hold that. Yeah, being in the gap. Or sometimes choices or possibilities aren't yet visible to us. Taking your time manifesting. And so it's an interesting space. And I like to look at these types of spaces as in the light of potential, of exploring the unknown. And so this can be an opportunity to explore the unbound, storyless self when such situations arise, circumstances. We can explore the kind of the edges of our growing space. The chapters are yet unexplored, unwritten, and so this can be a powerful, sacred space, this gap. This poem by Rumi. Just have to wear reading glasses now. It's the nature of my changing body. This is Rumi, and it's called Silence. Last night, I became mad. Love saw me and said, I am here. Don't shout. Don't wail. Just be silent. I said, oh, love, what I fear is something else. Love said, there is nothing else. Just be silent. I will whisper divine secrets in your ear. Just nod yes and be silent. We always have this little voice, don't we? We always have this knowing. We don't always want to listen to it. Love is saying, just listen and be silent. I said, is this face angel or human? Love said, neither angel or human, just be silent. I said, I will lose my mind if you don't tell me. Love said, then lose your mind and stay that way. Just be silent. You who sit in the house filled with images and illusions, get up, walk out, go, and be silent. And I wanted to share this poem with you because sometimes we simply listen and sit with the emptiness if that's what's there. And what happens when we shush all of this? What happens when we soften around all of this? When all directions are open to us, when we can soften in this way, fully receiving, fully being with whatever it is, like this life buffet is showing us, it can be a very powerful place for us, as long as we are willing to leave the kitchen. So I'll stop there. We have just a few minutes. I do, if there is any burning comment or question that you have for myself or each other, we have just a couple of minutes, so I'll open up the floor to you to hear your voices. How are you holding change, the changes that are arising for you? How has your heart grown wiser through transition, through challenge, this relationship to impermanence? Christy says, when change hurts, a lot of people, I just feel helpless and extremely anxious. Absolutely. Pain, grief, loss. This is also a part of our experience here in this life. And so, when we're looking at the circumstances in the world, the ails of the world, the difficulties that each of us go through, something happens for us, you know, if it's outside of ourselves, impacting other people's lives, something happens for us when we look into these things and we see clearly the suffering of others, what happens for us. Compassion arises. Compassion arises out of that sorrow, out of that grief, because of our love for the world, because of our hearts, our caring. There is a way of holding these types of experiences that are out of our control. And I'm not saying to bypass, you know, we have our emotions. Our emotions are a roadmap, right, to our hearts, believe it or not. But samsara is a constant wheel that is always happening. Change is always happening from our bodies, our cellular. It's happening now, you know, from leaves on trees. The stars are changing in this moment. It is constantly happening. We have this eternal cycle of life that is always in flux, always in change. And when we can look at Prajnaparamita, however you'd like to hold the eternity of things or the emptiness of things, we move from ether back into ether again. It's the stuff in the middle that we get in a tangle about this experience. And so there's this way of sort of looking and holding things in this larger context, but just passing through experience. And that's exactly what it is. And compassion may arise for us at times, grief may arise for us at times, as we move through this experience. Can we hold it in this sense, this greater sense? Sometimes it helps me in that way. The mind grip around how it is that my heart holds suffering kind of softens, and I can see our greater humanity in our experience. So I'm going to share the merit and then we'll close. Thank you so much, Christy, for saying that. Spring is coming. This winter has been a great teacher. And this is Alina. Thank you, Alina. Beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. So let's sit once more. And I'll share the merit. So allowing eyes to close once again. And coming into presence. Allowing what's been shared to settle. Noticing the energy receiving or sharing in the body. And so whatever benefit, whatever goodness, whatever insights, whatever connections, these relationships here, whatever merit that we have cultivated here together, may we carry them with us in our hearts and our understanding out into our lives, into the world, into all of our relationships, into all that we manifest and create, into all whom we come into contact with, all that we touch. May this merit ripple outward in all directions, reaching all beings everywhere. May all beings know the great peace. May all beings find the great adventure that is this life. May all beings walk the path to freedom. And with that, I thank you for your practice. Thank you so much, everyone. Really great being with you and sitting with you tonight. If you'd like, please unmute.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.